Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 11. I'm just choosing the verses that I'm speaking on in my preaching until we get a set study. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Etanya vidyamananam ichetam akuto bhayam yoginam nipanirnitam harinam anukirtanam. Okay, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Purport, in the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. Do you want to look at that verse? It mentioned about the Bhagavatam. The very Srimad Bhagavatam I recite before you because you are the most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna. One who gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam receives unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, the giver of salvation. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the full extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and are thus aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities, and if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied because they only want satisfaction of the Lord only. In this verse, Sri Sukadev Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of the pastimes. Here it is mentioned that one should chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on, and thus the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successfully. The process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Sukadeva Goswami, this way of success is an established fact, included not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruit of workers, as philosophers, as devotees of the Lord. And then it describes about, Jiva explains about chant without offense. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksuram Mritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Napitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Adadanaschanam Danter Idam Yache Puna Puna Shimadu Bapadam Boja Vilisham Jamajamani Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Vipasindu Bhai Vicha Vatitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Vivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from New York. I'm staying in the Bhakti Center. And we had our Gaur Purnima festival yesterday. It'll continue a little. On Tuesday I'll also speak, but it wasn't just me speaking. But it really was a beautiful festival. It gave me such great joy to see something offered to Krishna so nicely. You know, when we have programs and festivals, it's also an offering of love to Krishna. It's just like when Prabhupada is offered a garland in Vrindavan, and it was wilted and not fragrant, he was not pleased because it wasn't an appropriate expression of love. Similarly, when we are making programs for Krishna, it's an expression of love. It shouldn't be without fragrance. It shouldn't be wilted. So kirtans were wonderful, and Antanachuta they went on through the night. The worship of the deity and the Abhishek Brahma Maharsha is done really tastefully. It's really wonderful. It was just really done properly and tastefully. I gave the class. I hope people appreciated it. It seems that they did. And 250 coconuts were offered, and it was really nice. In the Abhishek, people can bring up a coconut to bathe Gorni Thai with coconut water. And, you know, and they would give a donation, at least $10, you know. And they'd say, I mean, if you can, please try to offer at least $10. People want to offer something when they're getting something so nice. And it was so nice. I was surprised, too. They asked me to come up first, and I bathed the deities with coconut water. And then I got a coconut with a straw. Immediately, the water came out, and they filled up the empty coconuts with the Abhishek coconut water. Just so nice. Everyone got a coconut with a straw. And, you know, immediately you're relishing the prasad. It was really wonderful. I fasted the whole day, but then the coconut came. Because mine was the first bathing, it was also mixed with all the juices and everything else, I guess. And then I had a decision. Should I break my fast or not? I was doing complete fast. And I decided that the higher principle was to take the coconut water. And I remember that from one time Narayan Maharaj was in Jayapur. And it must have been already 40 or 50 years he had followed a strict chaturmasya. And there's so many vegetables that they don't eat during that time. I mean, it's basically only a few vegetables that you can eat. So the whole chaturmasya, it's stricter than what we do in the most traditional sense. So he followed that way. And then he was offered spontaneously from the deities, and it was some sabji. It was a codicy. It wasn't grain. But it had one of the vegetables that he, you know, is in a strict sense. I guess he's also from a Brahmin family, but not only a Brahmin family. That's the way they did in the Gaudiya Math, and, you know. And he told me that. He said he decided to take it because he thought the principle of honoring Srila Rupa Goswami, because those were his deities, was higher than the principle of this chaturmasya. In one sense, I felt like that. I didn't think it was just being completely overwhelmed by my senses. But that coconut did look good, and it tasted great, and then I had three or four of them. So there's a lot of coconuts. So it was a beautiful offering, and I was very happy to see that. And so many people came. It was nice to see so many of disciples that in the area that came, people from Jersey. And also so many of these people that I would call them yoga devotees, that they came to the yoga world, and so many of them coming there, which was really nice. And then this morning I'll give Bhagavatam class, and this evening give a lecture on the yoga of forgiveness at Yoga Maya. And then Tuesday again. And then I'll go to upstate. It's nice. Now, this verse, Etan Nividyamananam, just reading Prabhupada's purports are so enlightening. And I'm appreciating them more. Because the more your consciousness becomes sattva, the clearer you can see what's there. And it amazes me, especially it was after Kadasi, and I fasted the whole day, and, you know, chanted so many rounds. And then today, the clarity of all these beautiful points in the purport, where Prabhupada talks about devotion. Because it says in the verse that this process is best for every person. Basically, there are three types of persons. Those who indulge their senses, those who deny their senses, and those who dedicate their senses in love. And the bhakti dedicates his senses in love. That's the nature of devotional service. So, it's best for anybody, really. I love that term, the peerless method of success for all is kirtan. And the other point I think that Prabhupada made that's really so beautiful, is that there is a sadhana kram. It's a step-by-step process. And it begins with nam and it ends with nam. But within your nam comes the rupa, the guna, and the lila. You know, advanced devotees, it's their chanting can be in many ways. It can be with thoughts, or it can be with conceptions for feelings. You can chant the holy name and feel your relationship with Krishna. And you can chant the holy name and you can see your relationship with Krishna. And then the holy name becomes the theme music for the great drama of Krishna's lila. But this is the process that's recommended here. Previous verse was the Bhagavatam, and this gives the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. The constant chanting, Harinam Anu Kirtanam. It's Anu Kirtanam. That means you just like the first verse of the Anushashanam, teachings following. That's Yoga Sutras. Now you should yoga anushasanam. You should do yoga. Follow the teachings of yoga. It means that they come down in the cyclic succession. Similarly, the pure name comes down in the cyclic succession. We discussed that yesterday. Class I gave on the roots of kirtan. And what I tried to show is to trace something to its roots. To trace something to its roots. To trace our chanting to its roots. If it's really kirtan, if it's really love, it must be born of love. And that love must be in the heart. That love must be in the heart. But then you try, so that the roots of our kirtan is our love. Without love, there's no kirtan. And where does that love come from? It comes from someone who has love. Someone who has experienced love. Where does their love come from? Someone who's experienced love. Otherwise, you can't understand it, actually speaking. not such an intellectual concept. It's really a subtle concept. It's an experience that has to be communicated by one who has that experience. Otherwise, how can you communicate experience? And that gets traced back all the way to Lord Chaitanya. Because he's the father of that at Sankirtan. This is my class yesterday in a nutshell. It's traced all the way back to Lord Chaitanya. He's Sankirtanaika Pitaro. He's the father of Sankirtan. Born of him. Where does his kirtan come from? Comes from the love in his heart. Where does the love in his heart come from? Comes from the devotee. His guru, Ishwara Puri, who comes into cyclic succession from Madhavendra Puri. I believe today is his appearance day. He's called the Mula or the Root. Madhavendra Puri is the Root. Because this type of love somehow is born from him. Actually, I just realized that it is appearance day, so otherwise I would have prepared that pastime. I mean, Madhavendra Puri, the Gopal deity, Krishna's great grandson, Vrajanab. He made 360 deities of Krishna's pastimes. 360 deities of Krishna's pastimes. And one was Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, which is now in Rajasthan, Nakji. And, you know, he rediscovered the deity by Govinda Kund. And Krishna came to him because he was Paramahams, age of renunciate. Whatever came to him, he would only eat if something came to him. And the young boy came and said, "No one starves in my village," and gave him some milk. And then he realized that was Krishna. And God, I wish I reviewed this. You know, the boy had a dream that, you know, he was buried. That was the Gopal deity. That was Gopal. And somehow they excavated the deity and had the first Anukut, Mountain of Food Festival. And then, because the deity was buried, he was hot for so many years. Madhavendra Puri went. So much difficulty to get sandalwood. So much love, so much devotion. That's what happens when you have devotion. You think about the desires of another person. And often to fulfill the desires of another person, may be difficult for your own needs and desires, but in love you make sacrifice. He wanted sandalwood. That's for his pleasure. That's what his need was. But for you to satisfy that need, there's so much struggle. There's so much difficulty. But it's not difficulty. It's not difficulty if it's an expression of love. I remember I got this contact with the principal of the Indian Military Academy. And I went up there. By bus. And it was very, very successful. In fact, somehow I went there and spoke to the person, and he joined ISKCON, the principal of the Indian Military Academy. Somehow or other, I don't know. He was so young and not sophisticated, but somehow or other. And that's not a small thing, because you can have a third-class world country, but India couldn't have a third-world army. It had one of the best armies in the world. I mean, they had real kshatriyas in a real sense, noble people. Happy are those kshatriyas whose battles come unsought. I'd met people like that in India. In fact, in the Indian Military Academy, I met people that were so inspiring. So inspiring. I remember coming back on the bus, sitting in the back of an Indian bus for 10 hours. And someone sitting next to me coughing with tuberculosis, the bumps, the dust. That time I would hold my rod, my danda. But it was pleasure because the sacrifice was out of love. And a cultured person values happiness in terms of love. There's sukh and anand. Now, I've only heard this definition once, and it wasn't from Prabhupada's books. But the concept is beautiful. That sukh refers to the happiness you get from pleasing yourself, and anand is the happiness you get from pleasing others. Anand. It was really anand, because I felt, wow, yes, I am only doing this for my Guru Maharaj. It was anand. So we honor Madhavendra Puri. We honor him today. The root. The godbrother of Nityananda, the guru of Ishwara Puri, the Param Guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then when he's carrying the sandalwood face back, he goes to Shira Chora Gopinath deity in Raymuna. And they have sweet rice for the deity. They have sweet rice for the deity. And they have sweet rice for the deity, and we kind of just looked at it. thinking that, you know, it's spiritual. He was thinking how my Lord, Gopal, would like this so much. But then he thought, I'm an offender. I've tried to enjoy what's to be offered to the deities. I think it may not have been offered or something. So he left. But the pujari had a dream. That one of the sweet rice pots was missing behind the altar, and that he took it for his devotee, Madhavendra Puri. I mean, how beautiful is that? The loving reciprocation between the Lord and his devotee. And that's what we want to enter. And that's what you enter by the process of Sharanagata. When you go for shelter, when you have confidence and faith in shelter, and faith that in that shelter of God, of Krishna, that all our needs are met. Then when Madhavendra Puri, they were calling for Madhavendra Puri, and, you know, he heard this. He left because he was afraid of praise. Oh, how much someone who's pure doesn't want to be in the center, and how much someone who's impure does want to be in the center. And that's where all conflicts are, when different people want to be in the center. When everyone's in a mood of service, no conflict. Immediately left. There's Madhavendra Puri. Reminds me when I was in Mangalartik in Vrindavan. How many people there at time, and it's a beautiful kirtan. And this is, when you look around, it used to be like 10, 15, 20 people in the temple. Led by Satchit Ananda, who among the devotees was Prabhupada's favorite kirtan singer. Of the disciples, Prabhupada liked him. He was a Bengali, and he'd chant with Bob. Oh, wow. I look back, and then by Prabhupada's Vyasasama, with his hands folded, is a Kinchana Krishna Das Babaji. And someone said, there's a Kinchana Krishna Das Babaji. There's a Kinchana Krishna Das Babaji. And then, you know, immediately he left. wasn't in the mood to be praised or glorified. But the burden of love really focused on what is the pleasure of whom I love. Let me enter the world and see the world through their desires. Let those desires become mine, even if it's difficult for me. Let those desires become my desires, even if it's difficult. That person wants this, that person wants that. But there's so much more benefit in that than fulfilling our individual desires. There's mercy in that. There's love in that. There's realization in that. There's liberation in that. And the great devotees do that. Prabhupada underwent so much struggle, because it was the desire of Krishna through his spiritual master. Madhavendra Puri underwent so much struggle, so much difficulty. Because I have class here today, I think I'll end now, but I'm leaving time for any questions. Are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, well.
Maharaj, I've been chomping at the bit. I have been so overwhelmed during this class. You, like, practically brought tears to my eyes when you were discussing the Coconut Festival at the Bhakti Center yesterday.
Yeah.
Maharaj, I can hardly speak because, I mean, I'm probably boring you with my stories already, but I have to tell you. I almost timed in before time because yesterday at the Coconut Festival, you have to understand. You know, I've been doing Ekadasi every 2 weeks for the past 16, 17 years, and I might have broken my fast by accident, maybe a handful of times only, you know? But yesterday, yeah. I was really trying to figure out, should I break it with this festival or not? And I had half a mind to even approach you to ask your opinion, what should I do? But I decided in the end, and I had no attachment to it. I mean, I drink coconut water on a regular basis, so I had no attachment at all to having it. But I finally decided at the end that it was a higher principle to have this water, you know. And so for the first time in my whole life, I deliberately broke my fast and took that coconut water. And so when you were describing your own experience, I was just completely flabbergasted.
Yeah, we're one.
I tell you what, I was floored. I was floored. It was all I could do to keep from breaking into the conference at that time.
Well.
And well, I'm about to see you soon, but I couldn't wait to see you.
Wow. But I'm not as strict as you, because once I broke that fast scale, I was finished. I was so peaceful fasting.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday I got up, I just practically chanted the whole time. You know, I was just chanting all day. I mean, and you know, looking over and kind of thinking what I would speak about. You know, so I was in very good consciousness. I had no desire to eat. You know, but when that coconut was put in my, you know, and when you're fasting, what is the one thing that tastes the best? It's a coconut.
I didn't even like the coconut water, but anyway, I was just doing it out of the principle.
Well, I didn't actually just get the coconut water because I got the first coconut. It was filled with all the juices, but that's another thing. Well, very nice, Gail. Good.
But oh, unbelievable. And I tell you, I feel like it was a direct answer to a prayer I made this morning when I broke my fast again. But anyway, I just have one really quick question. That verse that you, because this might be another spiritual experience, but I'll tell you later, but what was the verse number that you spoke from today in Bhagavatam?
2-1-11.
Yes, Maharaj, it was, that's another super soul experience, but I'll give others a chance to say hello. I'll tell you when I see you in a few minutes.
Oh, you're in a car?
No, I'm at Penn Station, I'm at Penn Station. But I can't get on the subway.
You'll hear the same class again, Gail.
Yeah, but I have to tell you the super soul experience when I see you about 2-1-11. Amazing. I couldn't believe you were reading that verse. You know? I couldn't believe it. Just amazing.
Gail, you are a mystic. You're a mystic.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's just overwhelming, I tell you. This class has been overwhelming today.
Well, that makes me happy because that's what I want.
Yeah.
I want classes that are overwhelming. That's Rasa. Rasa is overwhelming. Good. Very good, Gail.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Very good.
111.
Wonderful. So it was nice to see your daughter there also yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just grown up a devotee.
Yeah.
She's really into it. Wonderful to see. Great. Okay. Great. Wonderful, Gail. We'll see you later.
Yeah, I'm going to get on the subway now. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Maharaj, so much.
Well, I was wondering, is Gail going to listen to my class at 9, or is she going to go to the temple at 10:30? So I thought, no, she'll just stay and listen to my class there, you know, so she'll hear one here. But I knew she, anyway, she'd be out of here too. Great. Anybody else like to say hello? You don't have to have a super soul experience. You can just say hello. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Henry.
Henry, Haribo. We'll get back to you soon, finalizing those dates on a nice visit to Washington. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? I heard another voice there. Who is that?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Brajaraden.
Yes, you were there yesterday, too. I saw you. I didn't get a chance to say hello. Okay. I know you like it. It was a great program. Yeah.
It was a very nice program, Maharaj.
Yeah.
And today is also a very nice class, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're going to get together with you and your husband soon for several reasons. But anyway, we'll coordinate that soon. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Bol, Maharaj.
Hare Bol, Malik Indrani. Hare Krishna. Right.
I think I miss New York.
Ah. Well.
But I'm in my right place.
Don't miss it too much. Otherwise, you may have to take a berth there.
No. I'm just get my way out of here, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? One more? People are trying, but somehow it doesn't get to it. Who's that? Is that? I can't hear the voice clearly. Who is it? Can't hear it clearly. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Chris from Pennsylvania.
It's who? Who was that?
Chris in Pennsylvania.
Oh, Chris, yeah. I still have to coordinate with you. Plans are changing in different ways, but I'm determined that we have to get together soon. I will call you this week and we'll finalize something, you know? At least an evening or something. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, it's not working. Anyway. Bunch of culprits.